Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your glory. We thank you, God, that we're here to meet with you. We thank you that people don't hear my voice, they hear yours. Because my voice, yeah, I might be able to educate a little bit. But God, you can totally change people with just one word from heaven. In fact, I even ask you to hear things I don't say, so that literally it will be something you're speaking, a word in the now that moves them to the next level. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so excited to be with you, and I'm just excited right now. We've had some amazing things taking place. Recently, I was invited to go and teach at a hospital and meet with a staff on how to implement praying for the sick, teaching the doctors and the nurses how to pray for the sick. What an amazing situation. We've had, it's a place where we actually had 12 cancer patients healed of the last stage of cancer. And because of that, they've invited me in. I'm so grateful that Jesus is still the same. You must believe that God's power to restore is greater than the devil's power to destroy. That God's power to heal is far greater than the devil's power to put sickness on you. That God's power to prosper is far greater than the devil's power to impoverish. That God's power to deliver is far greater than the devil's power to enslave. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You need to understand that. Come on now. Because God wants to literally, everything we need, we already have. Because he's in us. He's in us. Come on. See, we need to begin, stop looking for outward things and outward observations. The Pharisees once asked Jesus in Luke 17, when is the kingdom of God coming? And Jesus never answered their question. Because he doesn't answer dumb questions. They said, when is the kingdom coming? And Jesus didn't answer the question, but he said, the kingdom of God's not with outward observation. See, he said, you're asking the wrong question. The question should never have been when. The question is where. Because the kingdom of God is within you. Come on now. So it's not coming, it's here in us. Come on. That we are literally carrying the very kingdom of God. Come on. And that we have something that we can release on the earth. So, let's go to Isaiah 43. I'm gonna have so much fun preaching the word. I hope you have fun listening to it. But it doesn't make a difference to me because I'm on assignment. And we're going to be all over the place tonight. And if you don't like the word, you're in the wrong place, because I'm not going to give you a bunch of stories and a poem. I'm going to make sure it's the word of God. And if you disagree with me, maybe you disagree with interpretation of the word, but at least you have to go to the word to figure it out. Come on. But Isaiah 43, verse 15, it says, I'm the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea, and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They lie down together and not rise again. They've quenched and extinguished like a wick. I love this. It starts off with a prophet, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing about when the Red Sea was parted. And we're in a season of breakthrough. Come on. I believe God, every one of us needs a breakthrough in some area. Come on. If you're sick, you need a healing breakthrough. If you're poor, you need a financial breakthrough. And most of all of us, this nation needs a spiritual breakthrough. Come on now. We need revival. We need to see the power of God manifest. And I love it. He talks about this great event, and the next thing he says now is, now forget about it. Don't remember the former things. And see, this is a key. Is that many times we remember what God did and we miss the next thing he's doing because we remember what he did. And he's about ready to do a new thing. Come on. A new thing. Rivers in the wilderness. Come on. He's about ready to visit places he's never visited. See, in the first case, God says, don't remember what I did. Remember who did it. That's the key. That we need to remember God will do it again, but he won't do the exact same thing again. Come on. He'll do it his way at the right time, and he'll make everything current. Because before, the problem was the water. It needed to be split. Now the problem is the lack of water. Come on. So he brings rivers in the wilderness. Come on. See, God's about ready to do a whole fresh thing. And what I want to do tonight is I want to stretch your capacity, because your capacity determines your flow. Because honestly, you cannot be filled beyond your capacity for filling. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a story about a little widow woman, and they're about ready to take her sons away and put them in prison because she was in so much debt. And then a prophet shows up, and I found out something about prophets, and I understand that very well, is prophets don't care about your feelings. It's just part of the office. I'm sorry. In fact, I saw a real prophetic pillow at Cracker Barrel. I almost bought like 2,000 of them, because it was a pillow that said, "Suck it up, buttercup." And I looked at that, I said, man, half my counseling sections. Come on, suck it up, buttercup. I got that. That will preach. Come on, you know. And you know, so Elijah comes to this lady's house, and she comes to the prophet, and she starts complaining. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. I don't have that. You know, and what did the prophet say? What do you have? Because everything you need, you already have in seed form. Everything you need, you already have in seed form. The miracle's already in the house. Come on now. The miracle's already in the house. So what do you have? And she said, I just have a little oil. It sounds like the church. Just have a little oil. Just a little oil. Well, you can't change the world with an attitude like that. She wasn't valuing the anointing. Just a little oil. What did the prophet say? Go borrow vessels, not a few. They didn't say how many to borrow. He says, you decide the flow. You decide the flow. Your capacity determines the flow. So literally, as soon as the last empty vessel she borrowed was filled with oil, stopped flowing. But I've learned God wants to stretch our capacity so he can create a greater flow. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, in verse 37, come to me and drink. And then goes on to say, out of your belly will flow rivers and living water. And what God's telling me is the anointing on the church is to drink and flow, 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 taste and see, drink and flow. Because honestly, what we partake of, we ought begin to distribute. What you receive, you become an authorized dealer of. Come on now. So the more you drink, the more you flow. Come on. You know, I remember years ago, we had a president, and he made a stupid statement, and he made a lot of stupid statements, but I'm not going to say who he is, but some of you knew. But he made a statement. He said, I used to smoke marijuana, but I didn't inhale. I thought, why? Why? I mean, that's like a double why. You know, if you're going to do something stupid, at least enjoy it for a season. Yo, come on. But you know, I go to church and I can tell the inhalers. Come on. You know, they're fakers. There's some that are fakers. They're pretending they're inhaling. They ain't inhaling. They're not. But the inhalers, oh, Jesus. Woo-hoo, Jesus. Woo-hoo. And they don't care what anyone else thinks because they're experiencing him. They're drinking. And literally, whatever you need, he says, sit at the table. I'm going to get you under the influence your enemies aren't going to rob your joy anymore. Come on now. Get drunk in the Holy Ghost. It's all right. That's a good way to get drunk. Come on now. Getting so full of the Spirit, you just can't contain it. And everywhere you go, you splash and you don't even think about it. You just flow. I remember being in a grocery store several years ago and I'm in the express lane because I'm always in a hurry because I'm from New York originally. And even when you're not in a hurry, you're in a hurry. So I'm in the express lane. This lady behind me said, my head is killing me. Well, I knew it was her mouth. Come on. But when she said it, her head was killed, I didn't even think about it. I normally would have turned around and said, may I pray for you? But I was in a hurry. So literally, I just reached back and tapped her on the head and said, be healed. The power of God hit her. She gets laid out right in the middle of the grocery store. Now everyone's freaking. We need to get help. We need to get help. I said, she just did. So she got up and she shook her, she shook. She said, what did you do to me? She said, the headache's gone. I said, of course it is. I said, I didn't even think about it. It's just a reaction. Come on. These hands, lay hands on the sick. Come on. They'll recover. See, when all of a sudden you're spiritually, you're so full of spirit, you do things you don't, if you thought about it, you wouldn't do it. Come on, you're right. You get out of the boat and then don't realize for a little while that you're underwater. Come on. You know? And that's really, God's going to bring us into that point of fullness. Come on. And many of you, honestly, God's trying to restore your voice because the devil's been trying to steal your voice. Come on. He's been trying to get the church to do a little thing in a corner. And many of us, honestly, I know a lot of Christians that are like Mephibosheth. They're living in Lodabar. Now, Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son. And he was crippled as a little kid. Because David's army was coming into town. And a well-meaning adult saw David as the enemy. So they picked up the little boy, and scripture says that, and while they were running to bring the little boy to quote-unquote safety, they dropped him. He became crippled in both feet. That really is a picture of America. We have so many crippled adults because when they were children, a well-meaning adult dropped them. It wasn't even that they were mean a lot of times. It was just a well-meaning adult. It's happening in the school systems right now where they're trying to keep our kids from God in a lot of places. Come on now. Well-meaning adults. I'm not saying they're mean. I'm not saying that they just don't. I'm saying that their eyes have been blinded and they don't realize they see God as the enemy instead of God as the answer. Come on. Does this make sense? And when David woke up one morning and remembered the covenant he had cut with Jonathan, he asked his servant, is there anyone alive in Jonathan's house that I might bless for Jonathan's sake? Because of the covenant. He said, well, he's got this boy named Mephibosheth. He said, well, where is he? He says, he's in Lodabar. You know what Lodabar means? The place of no expression. See, what happens is when you get crippled, and there are so many people in America that are crippled right now. They're emotionally crippled. They're crippled on the inside. They need a healing. They need their soul restored. They need their soul saved and they're restored. And they're placed in a place where they're not expressing their gifts. Impression without expression leads to depression. But the answer is always that you bring, it's what David said, bring him to the king's table, bring him to my table. Everything is restored at the king's table. Come on now. And you know Mephibosheth was in bad shape, because when the servant said the king wants to see, he said, what does he want to do with a dead dog like me? See, the problem was he was defined by the wrong person. The only one that has the right to define you is the one who designed you. Come on. So we see that right there. We see, and when they brought him to the king's table, first thing they did was get the clothes off of him, put new clothes on, cleaned them up. Robes of righteousness. Come on. See, that's what God did. He clothed us in righteousness so we can sit at the king's table. Come on. We become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He became sin with our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. So we have a right to be there, not based on what we've done, but based on what Jesus did for us. Come on. And that blood gives us free access. And God begins to give us back our voice. And one of the things that happens, and I'm going to talk tonight about breakthrough in the Spirit. Because honestly, without the leading of the Holy Spirit, there won't be breakthrough. You know, the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, I'll show you some stuff. I'm going to have so much fun tonight. Because honestly, what I want us to do is get so Spirit-led. I want us to get so full. I want us to get so in tune with what God is doing that we actually begin to walk in His shadow so our shadow has power. Come on. But Romans 8:14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the mature sons of God. You know, God always leads us in triumph. The reason the church doesn't win more is it doesn't follow. Because He always leads us in triumph. Always. Brings through us a sweet aroma of the knowledge of God. He always leads us in victory. He always does. And it's not, and a good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. What God orders, He pays for. Come on. See, if it's your idea, you may have to pay for it. But if it's God's idea, He'll pay for it. Come on now. That's why it's so important that we understand that where God guides, God provides. Come on now. That literally God will never lead you into a place of defeat. He may lead you between a rock and hard place to save the rock and save the hard place. He may lead you into miracle land with the Egyptian army behind you and the Red Sea in front of you. But He knows what He's about ready to do. Come on. And He's about ready to do the supernatural. So He's actually leading you into miracle land. Come on. So you begin to see that it's not by our power. It's not by our might. We're not limited anymore. It's one of my favorite shows. You know, when my son was growing up, I'd go to these different movies, and one of the movies I liked the most was The Incredibles. I enjoyed The Incredibles because it was a family where everyone had a superpower. Come on. Every one of them. You know, they looked normal, but they weren't normal. That's a picture of the church. To each one has been given the gift of the Spirit. To each one has been given a deposit. To each one of us, it's in our DNA not to be normal. Come on. Well, how long are we going to walk just as mere men when there's a supernatural God on the inside of us? Come on. Do you need to understand something? I used to say I'm just human, and God said, stop saying it. And, you know, I'm a slow learner. So I'm just human. He said, don't say that. He said, you were just human. But the moment you receive Christ, you are no longer just human. You are human, but you're not just human. You're not like the people who don't have Christ in them. Come on now. You're not like them. You got the life of God in you. The resurrection was not just an event. It's a person. So you have the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. So you have the resurrection living in the inside of you. Come on. So when your body needs healing, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body. So we need to begin to realize that. But even breakthrough happens when you're at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people in the right way. That's when breakthrough happens. And the only way you can do that is being led by the Spirit. Let me show you how this works. You know, several years ago, well, actually, you know, my wife was a senior at Oral Roberts University. And she wanted, you know, she knew she needed a job. She was about ready to graduate. So she began to pray. She said, Lord, I really want to work for a ministry. And during her prayer time, the Lord said this. He said, go apply right now. At the Oral Roberts Evangelistic. We went to Oral Roberts University. At the Oral Roberts Evangelistic. And he even said, and my wife was the religious editor for the Tulsa World for a while. Did that in high school. And she's written a lot of stories. And one of the things that the Lord said, take one of your stories with you. Now you understand, timing is everything. So my wife picks up, you know, my wife-to-be, we weren't married then, but my wife-to-be, she picks up the story. She heads out immediately in obedience. Now, she was willing to be a secretary there or do something like that. But she walks into the office 5 minutes before she got there. The main writer for the Daily Blessing quit, which was the devotional guy. Right, see, 5 minutes before they just walk out. Now they got a big hole. My wife walks in there and she says, well, I want to apply. And the first thing the lady at the desk says is, can you write? No, she said, yeah, I can write. Well, why don't you go back and write or something? She said, I don't need to. Why don't you? She said, I got something. He says, you got something? He said, yeah, the Lord told me to bring it. So she literally takes her, you know, story, the secretary does, in Oral Roberts' office. Oral reads the thing, comes out and says, you're hired. And literally, you know, for 10 years, she wrote, and millions of people read her writings. God set it up. See, God has a way of setting things up. Come on now. You don't have to make it happen. You just have to follow God because that's where it's happening. Come on now. Your gift will make room for you. You don't have to try to promote yourself. All you got to do is promote Him. Come on. You know, it works in every realm. I mean, I remember when I was at Oral Roberts University for the first 4 years, after I got saved, I thought it was getting really weird because I didn't even have a desire to date. And I thought, this is weird. Am I going to be a priest or something? But I was so in love with Jesus, I didn't want anybody messing with it. And, you know, I had come out of so much stuff. And all I wanted to do, I mean, I was just married to Jesus. But I woke up one day at ORU, and everything changed. And I read a scripture and said, it's not good for man to be alone. And I realized, that right, Lord. That is so right. I said, Lord, this ain't good anymore. This is not good. It used to be good and not good right now. Not good. And then I started thinking, I said, you know, because I know scripture, it's good to know scripture. I said, you know, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, attains favor from the Lord. That's what the scripture says. And then it also says, no good thing does the Lord withhold. So I think, yeah, it says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, no good thing to say. I'm putting all the scripture together. Very good, very good, very good, well done. And I said, Lord, I want my good thing. I don't want just anything. And I'm not going to go look for her. You brought the woman to Adam. So I'm not going to make it happen, but I sure want to happen now. Come on. And you know, it's so funny because I am praying about this, and this is what the Lord tells me. I want you to lead street evangelism at Oral Roberts University. And I thought, it's like the book of Hosea, where I'm going to have to get some straight woman. I mean, that wasn't what I was asking for, Lord. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But, here I'm praying about a wife, and God said, go out in the streets. So I thought, okay. In the midst of that time, my wife-to-be, who I hadn't met yet, is in her room praying. She said, Lord, it'd be nice to date. And the Lord said, I want you to be a counselor at such and such a coffee house. And I want you to go start this week. Well, see, when God told me to lead street evangelism, the guy that was leading street evangelism had just resigned. And I didn't know we were going to meet to train the people to go out. I would teach them for 15 minutes and then we'd go out witnessing. But the place we trained them was the coffee house. Come on. That God told, and because it was at the church she was attending, it was, God said, you need to be a counselor there. So here I am teaching I'm just there. And about 10 minutes into my message, the Lord said, oh, by the way, your wife is in the corner. And there are three girls in the corner. So I said, which one, Lord? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If he told me one of the other two, I might have backslid. I was going to be as real as I possibly can. But I'm looking, and he said, that girl. I said, whoa. Yeah, wow, that is real. That's good. That's good. Good job, God. That is so good. So I couldn't wait. I mean, I finished off my little teaching set and told the people, I said, hey, don't go out in the streets without me. I ran over to her. And being the stupid person I can be, I did. I said, hey, hi, I'm Woody Woodson. What's your name? You're going to marry me. I said, God said, you're going to marry me. And that scared her so bad. But she said, we might as well date. Well, then, a little bit after this, I love being led by the Spirit of God. I asked her to marry me. And she said, I'll pray about it. Most people, when they pray about, means the next day, 1 year later. 1 year later, we still, and it's weird. She did pray about it. And this is what the Lord did. I didn't know this until later. She told me, she said, I prayed about it. God gave me a vision of a stoplight. And he said it really wasn't on red. Traffic light didn't have the red light and didn't have a green light. It was on yellow. And he said, if it had been a red light, I would have broken up with you. Even though I loved you. If it was a green light, we would have gotten married immediately. But yellow meant proceed with caution. So literally, by that time I'm a youth pastor, and as most people step on the gas. But don't stop too abruptly either. You get rear-ended. Don't ask me how I know that. But, a year I'm being patient. And by that time, I'm a youth pastor, and she's helping me out. We're dating still. Right in the middle of the thing, one of the goofiest 13-year-olds, and they're all goofy at 13. But one of my goofy kids came up to my girlfriend at the time, and he comes up right before service, gets right in her face, and yells at her. And I didn't know what this meant. But he said, the Lord told me to tell you, green light. And her eyes got real big. She said, what? She said, God said green light. I don't know what that means. Well, she ran over and said, we engage right now. We are engaged right now. I love that kid. It's been green light ever since. Come on. But sometimes in life, you have to wait. But once you get the direction, you can move quickly. Come on now. It may take a long time to get there. But once you get, see, what I found out was when you walk in the, by the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when you walk in the Spirit, it literally says the word for walk is the word cadence. It literally is a military term. And it's a rhythmic term. Come on. It's rhythm. See, and every time there's a change in your life, you have to have the Holy Ghost lead you into a new rhythm because it's the rhythm of grace. Does this make sense? See, the Holy Spirit will determine the direction, but He also determines the pace. Come on. You can't, if you get in front of Him, you get hurt. But if you stay way behind, you miss opportunities. Come on. You know, I'm into sports and the best running backs of all time, they're very patient. They get behind blockers. And they actually are setting up the blockers to make the block. Their athletes have tremendous ability, but they don't have pace. And because they don't have pace, they keep getting tackled. Because they don't let the helper help. Come on, the Holy Ghost goes before us. They don't let the helper get the obstacles out of the way. Because as soon as He clears the way, then you can run. Come on, then you can run. And the Holy Ghost is now beginning to move some things out of the way. And there are going to be openings. And then you sprint until you hit another thing where the blocker catches up and said, okay. Does this make sense? See, it's to your advantage. Jesus said it was to your advantage I go away. Because I send you a helper. I send you the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, you actually live as an orphan. You can't even know what the Father's doing apart from the Spirit of God. In fact, the Holy Spirit witnesses that we are children of God. We're not just servants. Because a servant doesn't even know what his master's doing. But you know, we are sons and daughters who serve. We are serving. But honestly, our number one title is son and daughter. Because if not, we don't have authority. It's in our DNA. It's in our DNA. It's in your winning is in your DNA. Come on. Ruling is in your DNA. Church is not, you know. It should be training and reigning. That's what it should be. How to overcome, not just how to cope. See, this is what the Spirit of God begins to do. He begins to breathe on stuff. Come on. And you begin to have the God advantage. And there, you know, so many people, the Holy Ghost will lead you into right truth. He'll bring the right word back to your remembrance when you need it. He'll show you things to come. He'll give you dreams. He'll give you visions. Without the Spirit of God, we're just locked in the natural. But you have a God advantage. Several years ago, my son had the privilege, and he's 25 now, but he was a teenager. And they flew him out to Intel to meet with their think tank. And my son's one of the leading minds, computer minds in the world. And they asked him, they said, how do you create things? He said, how do you invent all these things? Because there's a lot of algorithms and stuff that, you know, have his name on them. And he said that, he laughed. He said, you never, no one ever invents anything. He said, everything's already been here. He said, the only difference is I can see what you can't see, so I know how to put things together. But it's been here all along. Come on. Then they asked him, they said, what makes you so smart? And he said, everyone in this room is smart. But he said, the difference is I'm anointed smart. See, he said, you're smart on one dimension. I'm smart on two dimensions. See, where you, when you are blocked, you've done as much as your education can take you. He said, then he said, you know, you got a lid, I don't. And he said, revelation. That God literally have God begin to download things from heaven for an upgrade on earth. I know how to tap into a realm. And see, the Holy Spirit will show you things that are already yours. Come on. But so much of the church world, we have been limited in the natural. And it's time that we learn how to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and draw from the anointing of God. Because one God idea can change everything. You know, years ago with my son, I remember, you know, he did that thing. It was the defining moment of his life. When he went to a science fair in ninth grade and they ripped him off. He had spent hours preparing. I mean, probably 100 hours into his project. And the people that, you know, all the students that beat him, they were mail order projects. He knew it. He said, Daddy, I can show you where they bought the stuff. I can tell you, they didn't even do anything to change it. He said, the whole thing was fixed. And he had an opportunity to quit. See, every one of us, we're going to face that opportunity to quit because life's not fair. Because it's unjust at times. God's just, but life isn't. Situations happen. Stuff happens. And be honest with you, most people quit because of disappointment. Their hope has been deferred. It made their heart sick. So their filter now is a sick filter. So they see themselves as grasshoppers instead of overcomers. Come on. So, you know, I saw what was going on with my son. He walked out. He said, Daddy, that stinks. And he said other words than that, but it was at least fairly clean. And I got in his face. And I said, son, you are not going to quit. I said, if you quit, these jerks win. Come on. I said, you're going to man up. You're going to put your big boy pants on. And, you know, suck it up, buttercup. I was in his face. I mean, I just began. I mean, my coach went in, man. I played pro ball, so I understood. Got right in his face. And just said, you know, you're not. I said, God gave you this brain. I said, you were born with a gift. And I said, if you bury your talent, you have the ability to bring in ideas no one ever thought of. You have the ability to do so much more. And if you bury the talent, according to Matthew 25, the Lord calls you wicked, lazy, and worthless. So I said, son, it's not about you. It's never about you. God gifted you not just for you. So I said, son, and I began to prophesy. I didn't even know I was prophesying. I said, God's going to give you a dream. And I said, you're going to come up with an idea no one's ever thought of before. In fact, you're going to go back to the same science fair next year that you got ripped off this year. And nobody's going to be able to understand what you're doing because it's so far above their heads. So they're going to send it to the Intel, because it was an Intel science fair. You're going to send it to the headquarters. And they're going to be astounded. And I begin to say that 3 weeks later, he has a dream of an algorithm. Everything runs in algorithms. I didn't even know Al Gore had rhythm until then. It was a miracle. Shows how much I know. But But the bottom line is he had a dream. He wrote down what he saw in the dream, and it literally, but he had the ability to grasp it once he saw it. But it was the world's fastest algorithm, and everything runs on algorithms. So when they saw it in the science fair, they submitted it to headquarters. Well, a vice president from Intel came down and said, we didn't know this could be done. And that put him, ninth grade, he's about ready to quit. 10th grade, he's on the radar of every high-tech firm in the world. That's what the Holy Ghost does. See, some of you, right before your the greatest pressure to quit is right before the greatest breakthrough. The greatest pressure to quit. And you know something? There's something on the inside of you that God will just say, shut up and march. Come on now. Just shut up and march. Because how many of you say, you know you're not going to do any of it. You're just talking. Come on. But God's about ready to do something very fresh in us. And you know, how many of you are ready? I mean, you drink, you flow, the Holy Spirit just witnesses about Jesus and he begins to introduce us to us. Where we didn't know we could do things, but now we have God's permission. Come on. And he begins to connect us to the right people. You don't even have to make connections. My son's never opened a door in his life. You know, he said, Daddy, I have everyone knocking on my doors. I've tried to open doors for years, and then just supernaturally, I run right into the same person I tried to do for years in the natural. The difference was I was following the other one. I was trying to just do it in my ability. But then the favor of God kicked in as I began to follow him. And all of a sudden, suddenly, I'm ready for some suddenlies, good suddenlies. Come on now. Does this make sense? And all of a sudden you begin to get dependent upon God and he begins to show you things to come. And you don't lean on your own understanding. He knows, Father knows best. Many times he'll lead you in a way that doesn't seem right, but it is right. It will go against everything. The times he usually gets on my case to give are times when, honestly, it's not the best time, Lord. You know? I mean, there are times when I said, Lord, if you asked me to do that 2 months ago, that would have been easy. But now, you got to be kidding. Let me show you how this works, and then we're going to pray for people. This is all right tonight? Because God's going to get us in step. God's going to begin to download stuff, and you don't have to always have it figured out. But if you know, if you can't shake it, it's God. Come on now.
Come on. Yes.
If you can't shake it, it's God. If you can't shake it, because there are a lot of things, you know, I'll have for a little moment or two, and then I can shake it easy. You know, so it's probably some, you know, one of my ideas that I had trouble discerning whether it was me or not. But there are certain things where God will just mark you. Come on. And you just know that you know that you know. You know, several years ago, I was preaching at a place and a little 7-year-old boy, I called him forward and I said, I see that you have over 1 million souls. I said, you're a tremendous soul winner. You're going to preach on every continent in the world. I said, you're going to win over 1 million people to the Lord. I didn't think much about it. You know, there's so many words I give people that don't, you know, at the time I just think, well, that's what I think God's saying. But later on, through Facebook, his dad contacts me and becomes a friend. And he said, and that was like 20 years later. He said, you remember the word you gave over my son? I said, no, I've given a lot of things since then. He said, I'm sending you a video because you messed his life up. He was wrecked that night. He was ruined for anything but the purpose of God. And there was a picture of him preaching between before 150,000 crowd in Pakistan. And he said, my son has preached in every continent in the world. He's 27 years old at the time when they sent this to me. He said he's won 3.5 million people to the Lord. He was marked. See, God will mark us. He will impress us. He does things on the inside of us. And many times he'll set you up by taking you on a route that makes no sense at all. You know, thinking, Lord, that is not the most direct way. Come on. Several years ago, I was scheduled to preach at a church. And it was just, you know, one of the smaller churches. I do some megas. Some, so I don't care. Wherever God tells me to go, I go. But in this case, it was fine with me until I had a friend that had a very large ministry. And he was leaving the country, and I co-signed for a major loan he had. But it was a monster ministry. It was no big deal, except when he got overseas, things happened while he was gone, and everything collapsed. Now my name is on the note. I don't co-sign anymore. I don't. I've learned the hard way, very hard way. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, I owe a certain amount of money, and it's due. You know, if I don't get money quickly, I'm going to have a prison ministry from the other side of the bars. I love prison ministry, but I didn't really want to join them. Come on. And in the middle of that, I have all this pressure on me. Well, you know, I have to come up with the money in like 10 days. And I'm scheduled at this little tiny poor church. I mean, you know, the pole church, you know. They couldn't even spell, you couldn't afford the last O-R, you know. And some of you have been there, you know, and I'm scheduled there, but a friend of mine who pastors a mega church in New Jersey area at the time, he was running maybe 7,000, calls me up. He said, Lord spoke to me. He said, we want to have you in immediately. We want to really bless you good. And it's a fairly wealthy church. And I'm sitting there, you know, I know the pastor from the small church pretty well, so maybe I can reschedule. Normally, I wouldn't think that. But I have this pressure on me. And I'm thinking, I don't want to manipulate people. At the same time, I need to see God meet my need. And this looked like an answer. So I told the guy, I said, let me pray about it. I might be able to reorganize my schedule. Well, I got alone. You know what God said? Where did I tell you to preach? I said, Lord, but let's reason together. I got about $100,000 due like in 10 days. And there's this poor church. This is the rich church. These are small church, big rich church. I said, Lord, I thought you were meeting my need. He said, don't you think I knew you'd have that need when I told you to go preach at the other place? I said, really? And be honest with you, I wasn't thrilled. I had to call back my friend. I said, I can't come. He said, you crazy? I said, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, but I'm devoted. You know? And then we went on, and I'm preaching, and I'm in a bad attitude. Not on the outside, because outside you are, you learn that. But inwardly, I'm thinking, I don't want to be here. I won't be at the other church. I need to be at the other church. What am I doing here, Lord? And I'm preaching. And while I'm preaching, I mean, God's blessing. He's healing. It's a wonderful time, except afterwards, pastor said, that's one of the best services we ever had. But that's the worst offering we ever took. I said, well, thank you for sharing that. So by that time, I go back to my room. And, you know, I'm normally just kind of a calm, Lord, thank you, a faith person. I don't normally beg. but desperate situations. You know, how many of you have ever had that suck rug anointing? Oh, God! You know. And I did that for about a couple of hours, and finally the Lord said, you finished yet? Yes, I'm finished. He said, I'm going to teach you something. I said, am I going to like it? He said, you're going to like it in the end. You know, and the next night I'm preaching, and yeah, there were about 300 people there, so it was actually growing. And I gave an altar call, and there were 100 people came forward, but there was a little boy, and I'll never forget this, probably the greatest miracle we've seen. We've seen a lot. To me, this was the greatest miracle because it's the only chromosomal miracle I know that we've had in our ministry. And that is, you know, I've talked to doctors and said they've never seen one. And, you know, this little boy had cerebral palsy. And I saw the parents brought him forward and he had the little braces going up. And I remember I'm praying for everybody. I didn't feel a special anointing. I felt compassion, but I didn't feel the power like sometimes I do. And I prayed for this little boy. He went back to his seats, and I'm praying for other people. Next thing I know, I see a little boy running around the sanctuary. I thought it was a different little boy, so I was going to get the ushers to get him back in the seat. But when I see this kid running around the sanctuary, I look over to the section he had started running from, and his parents have the braces up over their heads, and they're crying. And if, you know what went through my mind? I said, Lord, I don't even care if I go to prison. This was worth it. I really don't care. God, I'm so glad I didn't miss out on this. And so that was an amazing thing. But what was even more amazing, because God cares about me too, is the next morning I get a phone call from the secretary of a major Fortune 500 company and says, the CEO, my boss, wants to meet with you today. And I said, really? Well, I thought it was the pastor playing a practical joke. Because he said, we're going to send a stretch limo to pick you up. I said, get the limo. That's good. So I went and got some Grey Poupon because I always wanted to do that. You ever see that little commercial? I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, and I was in the Philly, New Jersey area. So there was a lot of light. So every time we'd stop at a light, I sure enough, big stretch limo pulled and I got him back. I had my Grey Poupon and told the guy, I said, every time you stop, I want you to roll down the window so I can show people. And they're honking at me. They think it's, I mean, I'm having some fun, man. I mean, it's really weird my entertainment styles, but that's the way I think. So we drive for about an hour, and next thing I know, we're driving up, and there's a 3-mile road into this mansion, and there's a 36,000 square foot brand new place, and I'm looking and saying, "Whoa!" And I grew up wealthy, but this was rich, and I'm thinking, "I belong." I'm getting a little nervous. I belong. I think this is a real deal, man. So they lead me in. The butler takes me and leads me into this guy's study. And there's an original Rembrandt on the wall. And I mean, this is like. And now I'm really nervous. And when I'm nervous, I am obnoxious. I'm totally obnoxious. I mean, I have that New York in me, so I do understand some of our president, because we grew up in about the same area. And I remember walking in, and this guy, he looks real dignified, and he stretches out his hand, and I go to shake his hand, and I said, and basically this is what I said, do you mean business with God, or are you wasting my time? I said, if you're wasting my time, I'm out of here. Well, he starts crying. And I start saying, I'm so sorry, sir. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. There are times I just, you know. He said, do you remember that little boy? I said, what? I said, how do you know about that? And he's crying uncontrollably. He said, at midnight last night, he said, my servant came up, knocked on the door, my wife and I door, and said, sir, get your clothes on. You need to see this. Get dressed. He said, we went up in the marble foyer coming down the stairs. And he starts crying uncontrollably. He said, the front door opened, and I saw my grandson run up the stairs and jump into my arms. By this time, now we're both crying. I still cry when I think about it. And he said, what can I do to help you? And I said the hardest things I ever had. Number one, I found out if he was saved, and I did find out when he received Christ. He said, we really knew before the baby was born there was a problem because of the amnio, whatever test that is, that looks at the chromosomes. But he said, I really want to bless you. And I said, you can't buy a miracle, but I knew exactly how much one should cost. Come on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I really did. At that moment, I knew exactly how much that miracle was, you know. And he said, do you mind if I write you a check? I said, well, you can't buy a miracle. He said, I know I can't buy a miracle, but I just want to do something. I said, well, God, if God put a check in your spirit, write it. So he wrote me a check, and we went from being totally, like, going under to being totally debt-free and everything. In one moment. You know what God told me? He said, you could have gone to the rich church, and you wouldn't have gone to prison. He said, I wouldn't even have made sure you didn't go to prison. But you wouldn't know what you know now. And that little boy wouldn't have been healed. Come on. See, literally, he said, I didn't lead you there just because of your need. I let you there because there was more than one need. It was a win-win situation. It was a win for you because you obeyed. It was a win for them because you obeyed. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? When we begin to walk and step with the Holy Ghost, we're at the right place at the right time. Doing the right thing with the right people in the right way. And I was being, you know, I was interviewed on TV, and they said, how did that miracle happen? I said, before the foundation of the world, God foreordained. That's the way I think. There's good works foreordained. And before, I said, the Bible even says he wrote a book about my life before I ever even had a day. Psalm 139. And in that book, it wasn't every day you would live, it's every day you were ordained to live, which means the book he wrote about you was the will of God for your life. And I said, in that book, I was supposed to be at such and such a church at such and such a time. And it was foreordained that a little boy with cerebral palsy that was going to be there that night. And literally, you know, his parents obeyed by bringing him. I obeyed by going, and the rest is history. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? When we're led by the Spirit of God, we can become a history maker. Come on now. When we're led by the Spirit of God, we can see breakthrough after breakthrough, not just in our life, but in other people's lives. When we're led by the Spirit of God, and God wants to begin to breathe all over you, because there's a fire he put, there's a fire in the Holy Ghost. You know, what I've learned is everywhere there's revival, there's such a stir. You don't even have to stir it up. My son's church, I mean, man, I love going out there, and they're in the middle of the most liberal place in America, right in the middle of Silicon Valley. And here we are, I go in there, and 2 hours before service, they have 500 people already there. You know, I mean, they can't wait. The first song, they're all in. And every week, I asked Joe, he said, what? He said, we average about 30 first-time decisions for Christ a week out there. And he said, these are all, he said, they're my people. And my son works for Google. It's Google people, Facebook people, all the people that people think are so, are unreachable. God doesn't know unreachable. Come on, whether they're down and outers or up and outers, they need to be brought in. Come on now. See, and if you know, it was a pastor that basically followed the call of God. He was in Australia. And literally, God said, I want you to move to America. Well, he had no money. And God brings him into the most expensive place to live in this nation. All he had was a word. That's all he needed. 5 years later, they have 2,500 young people. Started 5 churches. You're about ready to start another 5. They don't know what can't be done. You know why? Because they blew the lid off. And tonight I want to see the lid blown off. I want you to get your expectancy up. I want you to begin to expect the Holy Spirit to direct your steps. Many times he'll give you a word and you don't even know this. I've been under the anointing and said things. That's scary. I was in one church and I thought I messed up so bad. I was so frustrated with the people. I knew it was going to close. And I was going to say, the Lord says, there's Ichabod written on your door. And, you know, I didn't want to be invited back anyway. But the problem is, when I opened my mouth, it says, the Lord said, Michelob. It's written on your door. And when I came out, I thought, that is so wrong. That is so wrong. I mean, I don't, you know, it's been years since I mean, where did that pop out of, you know? So I went to correct it. And the Lord said, Michelob. It came out again. So, you know, they thought I was a false prophet. I was wondering if they might be right. Till a year later, I'm in the area. The church had already closed. I drive by the building, a bar bought it, and Michelob's right on the door. So I started to realize sometimes when I stutter, I was preaching in Kansas, you know, in the farming communities near Oakley area, you know, Colby, Oakley. Yeah, I need to see him again. Yeah, I it's been a long time. I need to stir that up. But I was in Kansas, and I even knew the guy. He was a John Deere dealer. And God gave me a word for him. And I actually saw a picture of combines in the field. But the problem is, when I said that, I see you with concubines in the field. And I thought, oh. And, you know, of course, all these ranchers and farmers are laughing so hard. Well, he was having an affair. I didn't know it. And it came out that way a couple of times. In fact, he told me, he said, I thought you told about my sin to the entire church. So he said, you know, he ended up leaving his wife for a season. Now they're back together. But he said, you know, he thought God was telling him on me. I said, he was, but it was, you know, through my tongue tie. Come on now. Yeah. I mean, I thought I was. Sometimes you say things and how many of you have something you wish you took back, but later on you found out it was God. There's times I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to get all over us. He's going to change us into somebody we've never been before. Come on now. And we're going to learn how to flow. We're just going to drink and flow. Whatever he tells us to do, we'll do, because if he orders, he's going to pay for it. Come on. When the cloud doesn't move, you don't move. There are times where everything, when you get under the anointing, it's amazing. At a time of acceleration, everything slows down. When it's accelerating in on the earth, it's you're seeing things slow motion in the spirit. See, I didn't realize that, but it's happened so many times for me. You know, we saw 7,000 decisions for Christ at a local church among youth in 2 years. And people said, man, it was crazy busy, but not for me. I was in slow motion the entire time. Well, my wife said, you're not worn out at all. I said, it seems like life is really slow. When I played professional baseball, I understand that. Because when I was in a hitting streak, someone could throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball at me and it looked like a beach ball coming. And it was like the game slowed down. And all you know, when the game slowed down, it's easy to master. When you're in the spirit, come on, even though everything around you on earth is quickening, there's a slowing down. That's why my son talks about that with his creative ideas. He said, Daddy, I get locked into a zone where life is almost as, it seems like it's a standstill while God is downloading. You know? And I believe that's what God wants us to do, is learn how to live in the both realms. How to live in both realms. How to literally translate what we're gaining in the spirit and walk it down here on earth, but stay in the spirit so we don't get worn out. Come on. How many of you tonight, you just say, man, I want to be more sensitive than ever before. Lord, I want to drink. I mean, I used to be a drunk before I got saved. I mean, I was a teenage alcoholic. And you know, that's terrible. But you know something? In the spirit, I won't be under the influence as much as I possibly can. Because when I'm under the influence, something supernatural happens. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. I'm not that good. I'm just not that good. But when the Holy Ghost comes on me, come on, He is that good. Come on now. See, people don't see me. They see Him when the anointing's on me. When the anointing's off of me, they see me. That doesn't do them any good. That doesn't do me any good. But when the Holy Ghost comes on you, how many of you tonight just say, man, I want to get more sensitized than ever before. I want to be led by the Spirit right into my breakthroughs. And I want to stop struggling and start flowing. Stop struggling. Start flowing. You know, every time I'm agitated, it's the flesh. Because once I get in that flow, it's no longer me but Christ. Spirit of God, not by my might, not by my power. I want to pray for you tonight. If you need a miracle, I want to pray for you.